I'm Rebecca of Sixth and Durian.
Hi, my name is Alex Moore of Gold Pan Pete Design.
There, this is Candace Schrope from Painted by a Horse.
Hi, I'm Hege of Nos Design.
Hi, my name is Kyla of Genuine and Ginger.
Hi, I'm Bobby.
And I'm Tess. Welcome to the Etsy Success Podcast.
We're part of the customer content team here at Etsy, broadcasting from Etsy's headquarters in Brooklyn. The Etsy Success Podcast is your source for tips on improving your shop and for inspiration from your fellow sellers. Our goal is to empower, inspire, and motivate you to be the entrepreneur you want to be.
This podcast is brought to you by Etsy, where millions of people around the world connect to make, sell, and buy unique goods. Follow your passion and start your Etsy business today. You just heard a bit of the song Happy Alone by indie folk band Saint Seneca. The band is led by Zach Little, who also runs an Etsy shop called Hero King out of Columbus, Ohio. So how does Zach have time for both of these commitments? That's what we'll be answering in this episode, where we'll talk about time management.
This is a really interesting topic because, you know, so many Etsy sellers are so creative, and a lot of them are working on multiple projects, and also a lot of sellers are working part-time and juggling other things in their life, so finding that balance can really be a struggle.
Yeah, and if you have to travel or be away from your studio a lot, that can be tricky. Plus, there's figuring out if you want to run your shop on the road or if you want to use vacation mode.
And with so many commitments, there's also the challenge of trying to find time for yourself through all of it.
Yeah, that's why Zach is our guest today. He's made nearly 1,000 sales since opening Hero King in 2010. He sells hand-soldered jewelry inspired by found objects like brass shovels and bolts, and mystical symbols like crescent moons and cauldrons. But he also regularly plays shows and tours the country with his band. So we'll talk about how he manages his shop on the road and how he's maintained loyal customers through it all. Welcome, Zach, and thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you've been selling on Etsy for 7 years now, and you studied sculpture in college, and you actually made larger scale art installations back then. So why did you switch to making jewelry?
When I was in college, I was doing these really big pieces. You know, you'd invest maybe 100 hours or something on a sculpture, and it would have an esoteric concept that maybe if you had like an art degree or something, you would appreciate. Once I started making things small scale, you know, I might be in the studio and I'd make this little thing that I thought was interesting and I could just put it in my pocket and walk home. And I felt like that idea of something that people could engage with, that they could have and use as kind of a way of expressing themselves was an interesting idea to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that idea of just it being like a tiny little sculpture that people can just carry around with them every day. So I'm also kind of wondering where you get the inspiration for your pieces.
I grew up in Southeast Ohio. I lived on a farm and I would always kind of explore all these old barns and go out in the woods and you'd find all this old cool stuff, you know, like tools and, you know, sometimes a map or a note even that somebody had left out there, old jugs and things like that. And I always just thought it was that mystery behind when you'd find these objects was really intriguing to me. So I think that started to influence what I wanted to create. Like I wanted to make things that felt like they had some connection to like a story.
So for the people who aren't as familiar with your music, I'd like to see if you could kind of just in your own words describe your band's sound.
We started out as a acoustic, almost bluegrass band. And over time, it's the sonic palette has kind of expanded and I think incorporates elements of sort of like psychedelic rock and sort of 60s music and things like that, but also just sort of pop.
Mm-hmm. How do you see playing music and running your shop as similar and then also different?
It's all coming from the same sort of creative point, right? So if there's an image or an idea or something that I'm using in metalworking, a lot of times it might make it into the visual presentation of the band. But there's a parallel coming up with an idea, like coming up with a design that you're going to make in metal, like a ring or something. And the way that I make things like one at a time by hand and come up with this idea, like the crown ring, which is a popular one for me. And I've made that, you know, maybe a couple hundred times at this point. But each one has its own sort of life. It has its own unique characteristics. And I'm channeling the idea of when I first came up with that design or something, but it's manifesting in a different way each time. So the crown ring that everybody has is going to be sort of unique. And I feel like that to me has always been a sort of interesting parallel with how maybe you write a song and the way that you play it live. You know, you write the song in your room with your bandmates or something. You come up with that idea and then you go out and you play 100 shows or 200 shows or something. And each day, like every time you play the song, it doesn't really matter how tight your band is or whatever. It's going to be different. You know, it's just like the air that's vibrating in that room is different. But there's a sort of like spirit idea that it adheres to the structure. And so it's understood or defined as like, oh, that's that song. I would say the differences for me between music and making jewelry stuff, I think that I feel a little less like shy with jewelry stuff, just marketing it. You know, it's all coming from like a place of like sincerity, whether I'm making rings or whether I'm making songs. But I feel like sometimes there's a challenge with music to make this thing you care about that you're like expressing yourself. And then to also somehow make that into a product, like a record or something that people are going to buy. And that's always been kind of a funny tension. But I like that with jewelry, that's just part of it. You know, it's kind of made to be this thing that people buy. And it's something that they'll use to express themselves.
Right. Totally. I mean, I love that comparison of how every time you perform a song, it's slightly different. And every time you make a piece, it's going to have its unique quirks. That's a really cool way to think about it. I hadn't thought about that before. And yeah, since you're touring a lot, how did you learn to handle running your business when you're on tour?
Well, it's evolved over time. A lot of times I take advantage of the vacation mode feature and, you know, still try to be available and engaged because people are still going to message you and get in touch and say, hey, when are you going to be back? I really would like to order this piece or something. So I think keeping that line of communication open to where it's like you, even though you're gone, you reply promptly, keeps people engaged so that when you do come back, they're going to be ready to place that order. That's been a really useful tool for me. But I think that there's still a lot of possibilities there to kind of expand it. I think that eventually there might be other more efficient ways to kind of manage it while I'm gone. Like whether that means I make like a few rings and then have somebody else who is in town ship those for me. Or if I sell things like while I'm on tour, you know, sometimes we've even had like necklaces on the merch table or something like that.
Yeah, totally. You have a pattern site, HeroKingEmbellishments.com. Why did you create one?
Well, I had experimented with some other websites. I had my custom URL connected to a Tumblr at one point just to have like a portfolio landing page kind of thing. But I thought that the pattern sites looked pretty classy and it was really simple and really easy. It was just kind of like basically all I did was turn it on and it all showed up and it looked professional. So I like having that other thing where it sort of is a hybrid of like a portfolio and it's shoppable. For those instances where you want to kind of present something that is it looks a bit more independent, I suppose. It's good if, like, say you're going to be corresponding with a boutique or anything like that. I think it's nice to have something that looks like your own professional presentation.
So with your experience with Pattern, do you have any advice or tips for other Pattern sellers?
One of the things that is nice about Etsy is that, like, at least for me, I get a lot of traffic to my Etsy store from people who are shopping on Etsy, right? I think anytime that you're not under that umbrella, you're going to run into some of the opportunities, but also challenges that come with not having that almost social network facet integrated into the platform. So you got to draw people to that website somehow, whether that's the dark and kind of mysterious SEO stuff, or it's using things that are more familiar to you, whether that's Instagram or blogging or Facebook or whatever. I think that those can be pretty valuable tools to build up your own independent following.
A lot of people, myself included in the past, don't always know their exact, you know, ring or bracelet size. So how have you learned to handle sizing issues with your shop?
Well, I feel like at this point, having made in the neighborhood of like 800 or 900 things, you kind of develop an intuitive sense of whether or not this person's ring size seems right. I think it's worth double checking and just being like, hey, you might want to double check with the jeweler, take that piece of string, wrap around your finger and try to get it. And I found like that helps a lot, because then the person's going to be happy when they get the thing that's the right size. And you don't have the challenge of getting a customer who's sad because they ordered the wrong size ring. At first, it was one of those things when people would order the wrong size ring, you know, sometimes I would charge, but a lot of times now, even though it costs me more time and money, like my bottom line is I really just would like for people to be happy with what they get. On a more meaningful level, at least to me, affords an opportunity to bring people a little bit of small happiness. You know, I don't think that you can buy happiness or whatever, but I think that if you treat people well and you kind of do them a favor, if they order the wrong size ring and you can resize it for them, that it makes them happy. And that is kind of a special thing.
Definitely. That's super important. And especially people shopping on Etsy, I feel like they really appreciate that kind of care and time that you put into that. So what is your favorite thing about being able to, you know, work these two jobs?
I really enjoy just being kind of immersed in the creative space, I suppose. Maybe that sounds kind of trite, but I really just like making stuff. And I don't know, I just feel so much gratitude, so much joy when I get to spend a day just working on a song, playing guitar. That was what I did. You know, that was my 12-hour day where I just recorded and played guitar all day. That to me is such a gratifying experience. And it's the same thing with metalworking and jewelry stuff too. If I have an idea and I can just go to the studio on my own terms and manifest that thing, you know, that I was just thinking about, that to me is just really exciting. And I enjoy the creative aspect of it, coming up with new ideas and making new things and sharing those with other people.
I'm also wondering what the role of music is when you're working on your jewelry.
That's one of my favorite times to listen to music, actually. I feel like if I don't have music on, then I kind of get almost stressed out. Sometimes I'll sit down and I'll just immediately start working on something. And then I'll realize like, man, I'm messing up a bunch today, or just like not feeling the vibe or whatever, you know. And then I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm not listening to anything. For whatever reason, for me, it just like really works. I feel like I can really listen to music intently while I'm working on that kind of thing. And it also kind of gives me like a groove or something to go with while I'm making pieces, which I find is really helpful.
So now it's time for the lightning round, which is where we ask sellers to submit their questions for you in the forums and also on social media. So are you ready?
Yep. I'll try to be quick.
So first question, Art Therapy Rules wants to know, what advice do you have for making custom orders as efficiently as possible?
Ooh, that's a good one, because I feel like custom orders, you really get bogged down sometime in the back and forth. I think if you can get as much information and answer as many questions as you could imagine that the person might ask ahead of time, then you'll save yourself from like a 10 email thread, and your time is money, right? So like that all costs you too. That's one of the things that you have to anticipate, that custom orders, like you're going to have to invest more time just in the communication. And so that probably should factor into the price as well, because you're going to be figuring out how to make it and communicating a lot. So there's a reason that it probably would cost a little bit more to have a totally custom thing.
Definitely. Wynn Wilson from Wendea wants to know, how are you taking care of yourself? Like, do you follow a specific diet, exercise plan, or yoga routine?
Well, I like to spend some time every day centering myself, usually like in the morning, taking some time to just be quiet and meditate, things like that. It's important, I think, if you're trying to do creative things, to also input. So I feel like reading and trying to find inspiration in things is important, because you can't just draw out of nothing, you know. So you got to take a little bit of time for yourself to input as well.
So last question comes from Jay Rose from Vintagerous. What's the biggest lesson you've learned from running your shop?
What is unique about doing this kind of thing is that you got to remember every time you're making something for a person. I think if you're selling stuff on the internet, it's easy for it to feel like impersonal, like, oh, this order came in from this anonymous thing and I'm just going to drop it in the mail and that's all it is. But I try to remember that it's another human on the other end of that thing, and that you have an opportunity to give them a little bit of joy, you know, and I think that that's cool. And if you look at it that way and you really try to like make the best work that you can, that ends up being a more advantageous for you from a business perspective too, because you're going to do better.
That's a really sweet way to think about it. I really like that. If you want to hear more of Zach's music, go to saintsseneca.com. So thanks for talking with us, Zach. We wish you all the continued success with Hero King and Saint Seneca.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Tess. I appreciate it.
Before we go, we'd like to leave you with Shop Talk. For each episode, we'll post in the forums and on the Etsy Success social channels, asking a new question for you to answer by calling in or emailing us a voice memo. This week, we asked for the story behind your shop name. Here were a few of our favorites.
I'm Aaron Black with Native Range, and the story behind the shop name is we wanted a name that was outdoorsy. It had an adventurous feel. I was looking for a name that captured the idea that the outdoors, you know, the forest, the mountains, the lake, the lakes were our original home. It's where we all came from, the wild places of the world. So the wild is our native range.
I'm Mary Dixon of Liquid Kitten Designs, and this is my daughter, Mallory.
Hi.
I make modern tie-dye clothing and accessories, and Mallory is a great helper. Mal loves cats so much, but Dad is really allergic. I promised her that we could work some sort of a feline shout-out into the name of the Etsy shop. I wrote down words like pussycat, kitty, and kitten. Then I felt like we needed an adjective. I wanted something that sounded how the artistic process feels to me, and maybe something that reminded me of the dyeing process with swirling colors and ideas. After studying my page of brainstorming notes for a few minutes, the words liquid and kitten just seemed to go really well together. What I sell might not be immediately obvious to others, but
it just felt right to us.
Hi, my name's Jen and my shop name is Magento, MIJENTTO. It's an anagram of Tim to Jen. My gorgeous partner Tim gave me one of his kidneys when mine failed. So when I was trying to come up for a name, I wanted something unique and meaningful. It's worked out well, and I love the sound of it, and I love what it means. So that was 6 years ago, the transplant, and we are both fit and healthy, and I love doing what I'm doing, making my handmade clothes and selling them in my Magento shop.
Hi there, my name is Zara from Atelier Tanani, and the name of my store comes from Atelier, which means workshop in French, and Tanani comes from the word autonomy, as we design products for people who have disabilities, and it helps them keep their independence and their autonomy. Therefore, autonomy.
Be sure to keep an eye on the forums and the Etsy Success social channels for ways to participate in a future podcast. That's it for this episode. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you'll be the first to know about new podcast episodes.